You are listening to the Paper Player Podcast, episode 22. I'm your host, Tony, and we're here with a full crew today. I got my co-hosts, Jeff, Josh, and JB. JB, how is Diablo 2 treating you?
I had a lot of fun playing it. I have a different game I'm playing right now, but I ended up finding an item that's super rare that sold for $140 on the alternate market.
What are you on? What game are you on right now?
It's like a pseudo idle game, but not really, because they released an update that's got a bunch of like active play stuff in it, so I've been paying attention to it a lot.
Nice.
Are you talking about RuneScape?
That's not an idle game.
It's not idle.
Yet. I know. You were saying you were playing it.
Josh, how's the football going? Are you still on a quest for a new one?
Always. Actually, there's money to be made with the guitar pedal right now. But just keeping up, keeping busy. Kind of been busy at work. We were bringing in a lot of new people at work, so I'm busy training new people. So that's kind of been like in my head for the last couple weeks.
Tight. Jeff, you got anything going on?
Just working like 60 hours a week because we don't have new employees.
Ooh, I know that feeling.
That's a scary
thing. And searching for a new car.
Right.
it's a nationwide thing, man. It's that there's a big worker shortage, and that's the way it is. And just because people aren't paying with what the times need to be.
You know what there's not a shortage of? Magic content.
Right.
All day, it never ends.
Absorb. You must consume.
Under over, let me just give you guys a number. How many Magic podcasts do you think there are? And I know we're like number 3 in the rankings, but how many do you think there are? Like over under, like give me a number that you think there is.
Okay, 6K. Are we talking active or are we talking total?
Yes, active. Any kind of podcast that's active. And when you a total podcast is probably in the millions, but
6K.
I'd probably 6,000? Say like 1,200 active. I don't know.
I'm going to say like 5. No, that's too many. We're talking like 100.
I'm with you then, Jay. I'm going to go JB's number. I think is the closest active podcast. There could be more. I mean, if there are, they're difficult to find because there's only like 2 places I know where to go to find that stuff.
What's the number?
I don't know.
What?
This man's asking questions. He doesn't have answers to.
I was going to say, is there actual stats for this? No, there's not actual stats. Who is tracking the Magic the Gathering's podcast stats?
Anybody who puts you, I mean, you could probably do it. There's probably some source to find it. I bet you I have a DuckDuckGo did. I could find it. Just because, you know, when I put our podcast up, there's like tags put attached to it. And I'm sure if I looked up like the common tags of like WotC, Wizards of the Coast, Magic the Gathering, MTG. MTGO, MTGA. By the way, I use all those tags for ours when I post it. Good. So, like, I'm sure if you could find all those tags and maybe go to, like, it has to be Spotify or Apple. If you're posting it anywhere else and not those, I don't know if your podcast is getting enough exposure. Like, there are, right. I mean, I post ours to MTGcast as well, too, but I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe I'll do some homework after this. We'll try to find some, see what the number is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested.
Yeah. But yeah, we are ranked number 3.
Actually, he's kidding. We're actually ranked number 1. We're above like MTG Goldfish, all those
limited resources. Yeah. Name it. We got it all down.
All limited baby. Who?
All right. Let's talk Magic, boys. We had a huge secret layer drop that just came out, and I don't know if you guys have seen all of it, but there's more news coming along with that. And what do you guys like from the secret drop or the secret layer drop?
Can I say what I hate?
Yeah, let me hear it.
I hate that they're doing gigantic, like 8 at a time releases like this. I really would rather they I'd rather they like piecemeal it out over like months instead of just slapping us with like 8 at a time.
Yeah, I'd rather them have like a weekly secret layer drop like every week for the year.
Whoa.
Oh, that's
right. Well, that's the trajectory we're on right now.
We're at like 36 right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So high.
So like that's the trajectory we're on right now. So like I'd rather have that and know that each and then it's fun. Every Monday you wake up and you see what's on. You get the new secret layer or whatever you get to see. Kind of like a t-shirt of the day or whatever.
Yeah, I used to do that with T-Fury. I think it was the website. I used
to check
t-shirts every day and then I would just be like, oh, this one's a banger. I'm getting this.
Right. I feel like we're at that point with the just Magic content in general. I feel like every week there's something new that comes out anyway. Like, it would, I agree it would be cool with the Secret Lairs because that's something unique once a week, but like, I feel like they're announcing something new every week. I feel like every time I talk to you guys or jump in our chat, like, there's, I'm finding, yeah, like, tournament, like, even something small as like a tournament coming up that I didn't know was coming up, but like, there's always something new.
My only counter argument to the weekly stuff, Josh, and the reason I say this is from a like business standpoint, you're gonna get a lot of people that get frustrated because they spent their money on the last week's one and then the next week's one is something that they might have wanted more, so you're gonna get a lot of like refunding and, you know, all that nonsense.
And it also only gives you a week to buy one, not to mention like the printing like aspect yeah. of that.
Yeah, no, I'm
once strictly a month speaking. Would be yeah. cool.
Yeah, maybe once a month, but I'm strictly yeah. like talking from, like, I mean, that's kind of what they're doing now, right? I mean, we have four super drops a year, or is it three? There's one per season, right?
Yeah. But asking like me to spend $400 on a super drop right now is like, I don't have $400 for Magic right now. I'm sorry.
Right.
You could
right.
also just buy the ones you like too. You don't that's have to true. Buy all of them.
That's yeah. true, but like they want you to buy all of them, correct?
All agreed.
I do this. Like, I do the super drop every time. Like, it's just the way to go.
And like it's a hard ask, especially like what things holiday season's right around the corner. It's like a good time to do it, like on their side. I guess it's like a good investment for your holiday shopping.
Yep, yep.
But it's still like it's I don't lot. I don't have as much as I love this game. I don't have $400 to get it all, so I'm going to end up getting singles. I only really want two cards from it anyway.
Yeah, I think the super drops, I think what they also do is ensure that the other ones, they don't have like a bad printing one, because people are going to rather buy all of them because you get, it's a pretty big discount. It's not, it's like, it's, you know, $50 off, which is basically a free secret layer. Isn't it
$250 if you get the non-foil one?
Yeah, and whichever one. They're pretty cheap, like overall. Like well, it's actually the non-foil one is like $189, and then the foil one is $279. So the foil one's actually $90 more. So like, if you wanted these cards in non-foil, you can get them for $189. Yeah,
with roughly like shipping fees.
Yep. So that's not too bad, and I think that's like where people want to spend their money on, to be honest. But if you just want the one, go for it.
I think the
$400 one, I guess that one was the lands. That's where I was pulling that number from. I guess I didn't really know the price of this before I was speaking.
I think it is $400 if you get both, because there's like a super dropper. You get all the foil ones and all the non-foil ones.
Yeah, that one's $449.
I was like, I do remember there's always like a $400 bundle or whatever, the most expensive one. So to get everything, yeah, it's $400. Like, I'm sorry.
I was about to say, I don't know who, like, I make decent money in my job, whatever. I don't know how people can afford buying a $400 drop, which is why I would rather they piecemeal it out where you're buying one at a time and they give little gifts or whatever like they already do. Mm-hmm. So I don't get it.
The $400 bundle isn't for the common person. The common person is either buying one or the other, right, or they're buying individual ones like you want to do. The $400 is for someone that literally has disposable income and is like, I want a foil for EDH and a non-foil for other decks.
Yeah. I mean,
those kind of people aren't us.
Yes. Right. Well, I mean, we all know a guy that used to buy, I mean, now I'm not saying like we collectively know the same person, but we all know, everybody knows a guy that every time a set came out, that guy bought a case every time.
Oh yeah.
It's the same thing, you know, like bought a case of the new set, got six boxes, basically popped open everything that he wanted and then sold it. More or less, this Spooktacular bundle is more the super bundle, whatever you want to call it, the $500 one or $449 one. That one goes to stores. That's where stores buy those.
Right.
That's where, like, you know, I'm sure local stores are buying maybe six of these, 10 of them. Yeah, whatever you want to call it, whatever that's allowed in their budget. And to be honest, they probably make the most money on that just because eventually these things do creep up in price and people that didn't get it while the getting was good. And then they get stuck with some of the duds as well, too. But that $100 savings kind of covers their ass on the duds.
Right. They also, like you almost always see like a $10, like, you know, you're buying it here now, like you have to pay my shipping, whatever charge.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with that. It's mainly, it's like, oh, I didn't know this was in here. I missed this.
I actually thought it was really cool the first time I saw Secret Lairs at a local game store recently. And I was like, oh, that's cool that they have that in stock, because part of me wants to buy this Zeb McKinnon drop right now.
The Wasteland one?
Huh? Oh, no, that was the one with Damnation. And
that one is a good one.
I think
we originally
my artist.
I think we originally brought up the fact that it's just another product for stores to sell at some point because of the pricing issue, like the first time they did the super drop.
Yeah, this is actually taking distributors out of the market for better or worse. And I guess both individuals get paid more or can make more profit on it. Because again, like you said, Josh, you just tack another $10 on each of these. If anybody's like, oh, I can get this online for $29.99, it's like, actively, you can't. Like, good luck finding these. Mm-hmm. Like, they're gone. And sure, if you're paying them on TCG Player, and you could get them, you know, in pieces. But I think a lot of the thing that sells these is one, the exclusive thing, whatever they put into these. We don't know what that is yet.
And that's almost always a lottery aspect to it, too.
Yep. I wonder what this one's going to be. I mean, you'll
like those like artifacts too. There's like ornithopters and like there's a panharmonicon. Mm-hmm. It's got like the cool. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. I actually those ones I don't know about. The last one I just remember the stained glass planeswalker ones, and then the you also had the random what was the gods ones, the cosmic looking ones. I forget.
Yeah, those where ones. You could get the.
Like a Purphoros, the star-looking one.
That was just the drop, because I bought that. That's my Purphoros is that. You just got a Planeswalker in that.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure in the most recent shipment, there was artifacts in them. There's like a Lightning Greaves. There's like a Ornithopter.
Oh, yeah, they're the foil ones, too. I've seen pictures of them. That was the last super drop, I do believe. Because the one before that, or two times ago, was the fetch land, I want to say, like two super drops ago.
Yeah, the summer one was.
Yeah. And then stores are even selling those. Like,
The fetch land was a separate pack. Bundle.
No, I'm not talking about the five. I'm talking about like how when you bought that bundle.
Yeah, that was a separate pack. That wasn't in any of the secret layers. That was like a separate pack that came in your box.
I thought that's what we were talking about, because I thought they still did that. If you buy the bundle, you get a random like lottery card.
No, I'm mentioning like there's always like a lottery aspect to the extra card that's in.
Oh, in each individual secret layer.
Like sometimes you get a stained foiled, you know, Nahiri or stained foiled Teferi. Like Teferi's $30. And plus, and then Nahiri is the non-common. That's 50 cents, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had the Relzeric one, and even that one, even though he wasn't really played, was like $10.
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to get it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this one in particular, do you guys have any, like, one that is, like, a favorite of yours?
I really like the Stranger Things thing. I like the flavor of it, because, like, I understand a lot of people don't like the universes and
what. Beyond, yeah.
I get that, but I liked the Walking Dead one, but the aspect like that there was a card possibly played in a real format did make it kind of crappy.
Yeah.
But this one, it purely feels like EDH.
They also put Jumpstart Basics in foil variants as your extra card. Like this secret layer, someone got a Phyrexian Swamp as their extra card. A foil Phyrexian Swamp.
That's cool.
There's also this Alt Art Crash Through someone got. Someone got an Eldrazi Monument, Lightning Greaves. Arcane Signet was the Signet extra card.
Oh, that's going to be a banger. That one's
remember us talking about that and assuming that's what it was when we were looking at it.
That art leaked right away. So, like, that was, like, a known thing. Same thing with, like, the Bob Ross, like, Terramorphic Expanse or Evolving Wilds, I think it is. Mm-hmm. That was known right away, too.
Jeff, you were saying about the Secret Layers?
So like the Stranger Thing, like the flavor is really cool. Like I really want to like build EDH with the Mind Flayer. Like it does seem like it'd be better in the 99, but like just the flavor of it's really cool. And I'm a huge fan of the show. And we were talking about exclusive drops, and that's one that did get leaked. Is the land that comes with that one is really cool.
Yep.
I don't know if it has potential to see play in like Legacy or Vintage. I'm sure there's someone that'll try it. But just like EDH and like sacrificing clues and stuff like that is really cool, and it taps for a colorless, pay for, tap, investigate. And at the beginning of your end step, if you sacked three or more clues this turn, transform Hawkins National Laboratory, and it turns into when this land is transformed into the Upside Down, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then when the creature is put onto the battlefield with the Upside Down, you transform it back.
No, when it leaves play. So if it leaves the battlefield. Yeah, whenever it leaves the battlefield. And then also taps for a black.
Pay a life out of black. So like it even produces mana when it flips. And there's so many easy ways to like create clues in EDH and sack them. Yep. Where you could literally play this land, sack, and at the end of turn flip it and reanimate.
What's the stock of that the 2/3 3/2 the provisioner? The card, the uncommon from Modern Horizons 2? Landfall, make a clue, food, or whatever the other one is.
Oh my god, I have so many of those too.
I mean, that card's awesome with just like straight up fetch lands.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that. There's the artifact creature that, like, whenever you create any of the other tokens, yep. you create all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many ways. I think it's going to be a fun deck to play.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm also excited for 11 because it's a unique concept, like having 11 cards in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. Just. For EDH aspect, I haven't really been excited about EDH lately. I'm trying to build werewolves right now, and that just seems boring. Like,
I've never
not to
been
mention,
excited about EDH.
Well, you also are a terrible human being when it comes to magic, so you play lands.
Yes, nice.
But even trying to build werewolves, man, some of the bad werewolves from original Innistrad and stuff are still like 10, 15 bucks, so this deck is like just super overpriced for no reason.
Is it the rare ones or the common?
Yeah, the rare ones. Got it. Like the really bad ones, even that. Like, because I'm just trying to literally play every werewolf. I'm not even trying to make a competitive werewolf deck. But sure. See, like the bad ones are like 10, 15 bucks. Like the original Arland, who's really bad, mm-hmm. she's like $20 right now.
Yeah, I mean, the people. Well, they finally they made a commander worth building. Werewolves with they tried doing one in Shadows of Innistrad and that one stunk. This one's actually
good.
This one actually draws cards and then
he's $10.
The
bad one from the second Innistrad set.
It was a mythic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's probably why.
Erlich or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I also want to mention the clue token for the Stranger Things is really awesome. It's the alphabet wall with the Christmas lights.
Impressive card.
Super cool.
Because people are going to want a bunch of those.
Yeah. So the whole Universe is Beyond thing, I know people didn't like it. And I think the initial one with The Walking Dead, how many cards did that one come with? 4 total?
5.
It was 5?
It was Rick, Daryl, Michonne, Negan, and Glenn.
Okay, for some reason, so there's 5 plus the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, so 6 with the Lucille.
Yeah, I think this one's a lot better because you buy
with
this.
Lot.
Well, it comes with, not only that, but you can play them in multiple combinations. This gives you like, you can build this in 5 different ways, 6 different ways. Whereas those ones were kind of standalone cards that you did. They have like a partner mechanic. I don't think they did.
They didn't. No. Okay. Yeah, these have that friendship forever. And like I've heard some people say like, you know, why isn't just partner? But I think it's to avoid like creating broken combinations with actual partners.
Yep. I think this is brilliant. I think they did
a good
job.
I like that they shouldn't have done that. I like that it's not partner.
Yeah. They should honestly just do like some like.
Gosh, darn going it. Why did we talk about this? Because now I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I should just.
This is how they get you, bro. There's two I'm buying. I'm buying the Stranger Things one, and then I really like the movie poster ones with like Dismember.
I really like.
Have you guys ever heard, like. Stage.
I will play every single one of those cards in that secret layer.
So with these pre-orders and how these work, so it's a little weird because you pre-order now and you don't pay until like a later date. Like I just paid for the last super drop yesterday.
Really? Because that's not how it used to work. When I bought the Walking Dead one, they charged me right away.
I think when it's individual ones.
You have the choice.
Yes. You can now I guess they offer the choice. You could like do it earlier and just get the payment out of the way. But you can pre-order this, put like a credit card on file, and then just wait like whenever they charge you. They let you know like, hey, you're gonna get charged in 5 days, just so you know. So
yeah, I might do that then and get the super drop.
It's not a bad idea. Like it depends
man,
on what
I'm
you're
hopping on the website like right now.
Yeah, you got 24 days. Like I'll be honest, I'm still a little wary about like the Universe is Beyond, but this is just the name of the game now, and I know these are gonna exist. At this point, hopefully none of them are so broken that they're a must-have for Legacy. And that's basically where the argument is, like, don't force me to buy this for Legacy.
Yep, right.
Oh, damn. And they're only $40 a piece if you want. And some of them are $30. Like,
it's
the secret...
Like, and to get free shipping, you got to spend $100. So it's like, I got to buy 3.
Yeah, because shipping is also, like,
you get $230 or something. You get two $30 ones and one $40 one. So you get the secret layer, or you get the Stranger Things, you get the movie bundle, But the other $30 one is the.
How much is Grizzle Brand right now? Is that
probably $20, $25, $20?
I thought he was like $15.
No. He might be low.
Two of the monster movie marathons.
Yeah, that's the one I really like.
You get the what's the dinosaur's worth a pretty penny.
Really? That's
pretty good. Yeah. The dinosaur itself. Like, there's only two dinosaur EDH guys you can do, which is that one and the other one. I forgot what's that the name.
Black dinosaur.
No, I'm talking about like for a multicolor. If you want to make like a true three color, like you can do right. Like a three color like Naya dinosaur, which is like where you want to be. What is that card's like name?
A mono black dinosaur that's legendary that kills cards if you have it in your hand. So it's like actually not good to play as your commander.
Yeah, it's not great.
The one I don't think is worth the cost is definitely the artifact lands.
Oh, that one feels bad. Print,
they look really cool. I really like the art on them, but the cost.
All right, yeah. So I get all the demons, I get the movies, and I get the Stranger Things.
Yeah, the Gristroth or whatever, the Sun's Avatar. That guy's $20.
I might have to do this because half of these are mono black.
I think one of the demons is worth a bunch of money too.
They're all great. All of them are great. Like this whole drop is pretty solid. The only bad one is the land one.
And that's bad is an arguable term there.
Yeah, if you're a blue EDH and you play Trinket Mage, these are great. Like,
or if you're like some you want them for EDH or whatever.
That's the only reason you would get them. You can't really
artwork is. I would rather buy the prints of the art is what I want.
Which one don't you get if you get the non-foil? Volta Whisper. You only get seven with the non-foil.
That Seed of the Synod art is dope too.
I'm not sure.
I want to know who at Wizards does acid to.
Oh no! In the foil one, you
green light these.
Why is the picture? Have two? Oh, that's why.
Definitely a wook.
The picture for the foil one has two of the demon set.
Yeah, you get the etched and the non-etched.
Okay. All right.
But either way, I mean, you walk away with a Gravecrawler, you walk away with the Rise of the Dark Realms, which is great. You do get to walk away with also a Grizzlebrand, which is
Rise of the Dark Realms. That's in a different secret layer drop.
Was it? I think I remember it would be in a Jumpstart. But either way, like
Rise of the Dark Realms. Oh, that's the one. You get that one comes with Gravecrawler, Liliana, and Rise of the Dark Realms. I think I'd get that one over the demon.
They're all, I mean, overall, the land, the Midnight Hunt, the land one, at least you get 10 different lands of the lands. How many of them are actually playable? I think Vault of the Archangel is really popular. I think that one's the most expensive one.
That was like a thing. Oh, you get the other lands?
That one's like $6. You get 10 of them, so they're good. Overall, this Secret Layer is solid. My favorite one is, I think, like you said, is the movie poster one, the movie marathon.
Yeah, that's the every single one of those cards I will see play.
Yeah.
Because like Grafdigger's Cage is a sideboard staple. Mm-hmm. Dismember, I've played it in Legacy in my main deck even. it goes straight into my cube. I don't know. Do you put in my cube, my strictly uncommon cube, do you put this Dismember or do you put the Phyrexian old or the old border from Time Spiral? Which depends is what on who you, that's what I have in there right now.
Depends on who your audience is. So the biggest thing, if like your cube is targeted to like enfranchised Magic players, go with the most awesome one that you think. If it's like guys that don't play cube, I would always get like a regular version, like that way they can read the card.
I guess like my target audience is like people who is for anyone to be able to play it.
Yeah. So then just keep the old one. It's easier to read, easier to understand.
The Beast Within, I want that for my cube as well. It's also EDH All-Star. Blasphemous Mac is an EDH All-Star.
Yeah. So I think the big thing with this is you're going to hear the complaints of, I would have bought this if I knew blah, blah, blah was in here. And whatever the secret thing might be, I don't know what they're putting into this one, this bundle.
I hope it's like some cool creatures, some like cool nightmare creatures.
Yeah, right.
Like give me like a Nekusar movie poster.
I'm trying to think. I guess that would be actually that would actually be really cool. I think just do some weird zombies.
Yeah, or like no, just some like weird commander like card,
yeah.
Like Nekusar as a movie poster, or what's another scary one like Olivia Voldaren or something.
That's probably going to be an automatic in there. They're probably going to do. You know what? They should just do all the legendary creatures from like original Innistrad.
Right.
That's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so dope. You don't see a vampire one in this one, which is kind of weird. Oh yeah, you don't see a zombie one either. Whatever. Is there any new spoilers for the new set yet? Because I know that one's coming out like.
That's like next week they come out.
It's dude, Crimson Vow. Man, that's coming quick.
Team Edward. Right.
So we're talking about Secret Layers. Next week we have to talk about spoilers for Innistrad.
For the next like 3 weeks.
Welcome to Eternal Spoilers.
Dude, it's the set drops in one. Why? It's terrible.
Oh, there's just too much. I don't know. I can't like I can't handle all this. It's just there's too much.
We skipped over the bazaar, JB. So why don't you tell us if this is too much? Why don't you tell us what you picked up this week instead?
At JB's bazaar.
I finally got my last Necropotence. So
Competence.
Yeah, I am four mana vaults away from being done with that goofy deck. And then I'll have a really bad deck that no one will want to play against, and it'll sit in a box.
That was really good in 1996.
Mm-hmm. No, I can tell you right now, it'll beat any deck that you want to play against right now.
Yes. I will agree with that 100%.
If you want to, I'll play any deck you have versus that deck once I'm done building it.
Let me grab some Salarian Academies real quick. I'll be right back.
Go ahead.
Can I proxy?
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, then I'm down.
No, he's going to make you buy it because you know, this is sanctioned.
Contract from below.
I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is you can't do, if we're going to do this, you can't make those decks and then just add maybe like two good cards from newer sets.
Like Snapcaster Mage?
Yeah.
I don't know, that would be good enough. You would have to be something along the, I don't know what you would add, but it would
definitely. Oh, I went to Snapcaster Mage, but that was, I should have said Brazen Borrower.
Well, it'd be like fetch lands because there weren't really fetch lands at the time.
What would I need fetch lands for? I got Tolarian Academy.
It'd be duels. It would be duels.
What I need duels for? I got Tolarian Academy.
Yeah, I think what JB meant was that any current standard deck, any modern deck, any legacy deck doesn't hold a candle to this deck.
Yeah, right. It literally can't beat it.
It was the first time we've ever seen Magic at its ultimate broken form.
Yeah, so I'm excited to make the most broken deck in the Magic's history. It's going to be
fun. You even have another deck from that format?
There was none.
I am very close to building the deck that was the predecessor to the one that I'm building. The Tolarian Academy deck is the one that was the predecessor and then had some stuff banned. And then the Memory Jar deck came out, and Memory Jar got banned in like 2 weeks.
It was
emergency ban.
It was the deck. It was unbeatable. It was, you just couldn't, there's just nothing that could keep up with it. It was something else.
That's like the trademark emergency. That was like a turning point in Magic's history.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had people showing up with like, and mind you, what is this, 1997, 1996? With, you know, anyways, you had people showing up with Gray Ogres, you know, you're like, check this out. Megrim, Memory Jar, Tolarium, Memory Jar, you're dead. And you're like, what happened? You're like, yeah, you auto lose. Like, I don't understand. You're just, well, that's just how it works, dummy.
You nice watch me draw my deck 16 times.
Yes.
And you discard all your cards and you lose.
Yeah.
Megrim was a old staple back in the day. I loved that card.
Yeah. Sweet.
So your bazaar is you're looking for mana vaults?
Yeah. Although they have to specifically be revised, because I want the old wording, and I'm trying to keep everything in old border, so I have no new border stuff.
Like the pseudo old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get alternate fourth ones.
I mean, I would really like to get the unlimited ones, because the text on that is horrible. It says, tap: do a bunch of stuff in a big brick of text. But yeah,
those are super expensive.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $150 versus $50, so...
Yeah, it's not a bad investment, though.
Yeah, flex and get summer magic ones.
Ugh. Definitely not. White-bordered, nasty-looking.
It looks like unlimited.
Yeah, I know, but I'm only buying unlimited because I can't get beta because that's $1,500 a piece.
Ooh.
What about foreign black border?
I thought about it. I saw Japanese foreign black border for $150. But I feel like I would have to change my City of Brass into foreign black border then.
I feel like people would like that. And if you ever wanted to move out of it, I feel like having a foreign black border Japanese mana vault in your trade binder would get a lot of people. There'd be a bunch of EDH nerds that'd be like, oh my god, I got a hot bot.
Yeah, JB, are you going to that Nerd Rage?
I am. I'm very excited to be able to do some trading, and Nerd Rage has a single Japanese Mox Diamond that I'm going to try and get.
Do not have favorable trade-in prices.
I was looking. We'll see what they say when you're actually at the counter, but because, you know, like, obviously online prices are different
when it comes to like more expensive cards you're trading in, like
right.
you can normally finagle better than like, oh, I got this $20 card, and they're like, yeah, $5.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the thing is, I gave someone my Verdon Catacombs, the Expedition version,
mm-hmm.
to take to Gen Con, and they ended up getting like $150 trade-in from Star City, which sounds unreasonable, like insane, considering yeah. it's like $170. But I think when you're in person, they'll give you better trade-in value.
I think they're just trying to move stuff quickly. Like it's the name of the game is how many transactions can I make right. versus
can I make yeah. a dollar off one? You know, if I make a dollar yeah. off every transaction,
exactly. Yeah, than trying to nickel and dime stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm like, all right, well, I'll just take all my big stuff and see what they'll give me for a couple of things, and sure. if they, you know, if it's reasonable, I'll get that Japanese Mox Diamond.
All right.
So, I wish you luck.
Yeah.
By the way, what deck are you playing if you're going?
It's going to be blue-red on Saturday and lands on Sunday.
Of course.
I mean, whatever, more power to you. Hopefully your Urza Sagas play out well.
Ooh, yes. Yes. I test with them. They're super good.
You need some Spell Starter Sprites.
No, I'm good. I mean, I like that tech, and I know we talked about it. Well, it'll be last week when we release the next podcast, but yep. I don't know. That's not my style. I'd rather just have hard counterspell.
Got it. All right, Jeff, what's your bad card of the week?
All right, so I was going over some Legacy top eights, and this one kind of comes at lands. I don't know if JB runs this version, but I've seen a few lands top eight lately with Punishing Fire.
It's a classic card. I mean, they've been playing it forever, and it's anywhere between one to three copies.
Yeah, I get it hits... It hits Ragavan, but it just doesn't seem good enough. Like, I don't know. I feel like this card is overrated. I don't know how people are top eighting with it.
Oh,
like,
dude.
It just hold seems on, like dudes. A waste of space.
Hold on, dudes. I got some incoming news. But go on. Keep going, sir. Oh, geez, this is amazing.
I don't know. I don't like. I think there are better options for like cards you can pick to run to stop Ragavan if that's your issue, even though I feel like Ragavan, doesn't he say cast, not play?
Because
you can't... Yeah, so like against lands, Ragavan seems bad.
So here's what it is. Most lists are starting to switch to three Urza Saga because it's better for the grind, and it's going to be way better than any Punishing Fire combo. Like, just making the constructs is going to be 1,000 times better.
Real quick.
What's up?
Why are they running Urza's? I haven't really like seen Legacy played much. Like, I've just been looking at top eights. What's Urza's Saga grabbing, or is it just in there to make...
Thespian Stage can copy Urza's Saga to get the ability to make the construct and then turn into a different land before the trigger to destroy it happens. So it gets
no longer put in Saga.
Oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah, like it's super that. Goofy. And that then you can just turn it into like Dark Depths if you think you can win because they don't have anything in hand or whatever you want to do. And then it'll grab Pithing Needle, Mox Diamond, or because Mox Diamond will ramp you or get you into colored mana if they play like Blood Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also
Blood Moon kills your Urza Saga, so yeah.
Well, I'm saying prior to Blood Moon hitting the field, you can get another Mox Diamond for more green mana. And then
I was gonna say that seems like a good excuse to play a Singleton Pithing Needle. Pithing Needle is arguably the best card in Legacy, if you ask me.
It's so good. How many people who haven't played against Urza's Saga enough don't realize that you just go, does this resolve? They go, yes. And you go, I'll get this naming Polluted Delta. And then they have like a Polluted Delta or two sitting on the field. Can't use them.
Yep, they're offline.
It's super goofy. But so Urza's Saga is just strictly better for the grindy matches, like against blue-white when you're playing lands. Mm-hmm. So I think the Punishing Fire combo is starting to get played less.
Yeah. I remember dunking on White Darby and his Punishing Fire in Legacy. Like, I never thought that inevitability or whatever was good.
What I want so cute. I want this Crater Hoof Behemoth.
Yeah, that's the so those are what
those,
those are the cards. Those are the cards that come in the random cards that come in your secret layer.
That Moldrifter is awesome.
I was watching Amazonian play Arena, and she had her Craterhoof Behemoth had that art.
Yeah,
and
so
she was wondering what was happening.
Yeah, so these come in the secret layers. these I think they this is where they come from.
So yeah, these so are this, randomly inserted.
Yeah,
I think metalwork is dumb. Like some why
some children like drew these.
So you got Muldrifter, Critter Hoof, you have two different Critter Hoofs for whatever reason. You got two different metalwork colossuses.
I need like a Muldrifter for my cube.
Do you guys remember when they did that with Pokemon? They had like the kid drawn Pokemon cards?
No, but I'm sure they're
it was great. I loved it. There was like a whole set that was just like any ranging from 2-year-old drawing Pikachu to, you know, a 15-year-old future artist drawing someone else, you know, some other Pokemon.
It's right. Great.
So this secret layer, whichever one, this one right here, I believe this one comes in the Extra Life 2021 bundle. So this is, I think I bought that bundle. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was what the artwork comes from too, is the Extra Life thing.
Yeah, there you go. So that's where these exist. So these aren't coming out in the new ones, but I didn't know. I didn't even know. These are just now getting handed out or coming to people and, you know, their hands or whatever now. So you're seeing these populate.
Interesting. It's also misleading because the Hopkins National Lab is in there too in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what threw me off.
Right.
I want that Crater Hoof, man. That's awesome.
Which one? The Scribbles?
Yeah.
I like the Scribble Muldrifter. I want that for the cube.
That's how my brain feels when I play Magic, so I want it.
or when I'm playing Muldrifter, I'm just, let me play my fish and draw some cards.
So, Jeff, your bad card of the week is Punishing Fire, and it's just because you think it's outdated?
I just think it's outdated, and like, there's just far better things you could be doing in lands. Like, JB would obviously know better than I do, because I refuse to ever play lands in Legacy, because I don't hate myself that much, but I just think Punishing Fire is just, it's overrated. Like, why? There are so many other things you could run if you're worried.
It's too cute.
Yeah, like, I get nostalgia, man, but it's 2021, man. You don't need to be playing 2010 lands. Like, what are you going to start playing? Mindslaver combo again?
Also, Valakut Exploration is another inevitability that just deals more damage and gets you more cards versus, you know, Punishing Fire combo. So that's another.
I've seen you play that card. That card is.
You don't have to give your opponent life.
Yeah, it's another point against playing, you know, Punishing Fire.
But yeah, I mean, the Punishing Fire wasn't normally your win condition. That could be your win condition, but realistically, why Punishing Fire existed in that deck was to ding Delvers because they were 3/2s, and now your Delvers are bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So you have 3/3 Delvers that you can't ding anymore. And it was also one of your best ways to fight elves other than like a straight up Tabernacle. And usually with Tabernacle, sometimes they can pay through it.
Yep.
So the being able to always, like, your Punishing Fire should target one and one only, card only, and it should always, always be Heritage Druid. You need to kill that card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like why that card existed. Like, yes, it kills Ragavans now, so if lists are playing it, but now that the meta has changed where 2 damage to stuff isn't as strong anymore, it's just
might as well just play Bolt. Like, I get you have Recursion, but like at least Bolt will kill their Dragon Rage Chandler. Or
you played it for like the inevitability, right? You wanted to be able to dredge it with Life from the Loam and then get it back. Whereas if you dredge the
Bolt,
you can't get him back. Plus,
what I've been seeing
lands is terrible.
What I've been seeing is that people are playing one of Chasm in order to fight elves, and then they're playing 2-3 Maze of Ith in order to stop the early game Delver.
Or the early game
Chasm stops damage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always thought that Punishing Fire was best in Maverick back in 2012 or whatever. That was when
you're clearing the way for your Tarmogoyfs to actually connect for 6 or 7.
And your Knight of the Reliquaries to connect for 1 million.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's old Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Goblins was good.
I mean, you could still play Goblins and do
okay. Hey, man. I could still play a bunch of cards. I could still play Belcher. It doesn't mean I'm going to win.
Hold on. Belcher's really the best it's ever been. It's got...
Oh, I agree. With the blue
green
card.
No, it's got the green card. The Veil of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agree.
You just play that main deck. Yeah, I guess if I were to play Legacy today, I think I would play a Lurin combo. I like it too much because now they have the Living Wish package. I love that package.
I hate Wish as a magic mechanic. I hate it.
I love the idea of being able to go get main deck or, you know, game one collector oofs and then your win conditions in your sideboard so they can't strip it from you.
I used to love it in Belcher.
Yeah.
Grabbing that Empty the Warrens from the sideboard. Woo!
Yeah, not to mention you get 4 Abrupt Decays, which is like one of the best cards right now to deal with your the day's meta.
So that's why you hate lands, is because I could always go get my Tabernacle and you'd get really upset.
Everybody hates that. Right. Like, I have two Mullins. You're like, I'll sack these all to scourge Prospector. I'll show you.
Sucker.
JB, I don't think I can play Legacy with you anymore.
Why? It's too much of a headache.
Tabernacle is just, like, why? It sounds so unnecessary.
That card's even outdated. I don't think lists really
play it anymore.
You're
like such a troll, man.
All lists play it. You gotta play it. It's really good against Delver. Like, it's fine against Delver, and then it's good against Elves for the most part, and any other weird, you know, dredge deck or whatever. It's pretty good.
There's always someone playing some green-white, you know, flood the board with dudes deck.
I'm gonna stick to Burn. Screw your damn deck.
Dude, sure. There's a Goblins list in this top eight right here. This is all in the Hyrule.
Muck's daddy. He's cheap now. He's like an all-time low, like $7 or something.
Yeah, this is the time to get him. Why is he so cheap?
I have no idea.
Oh, I know why. Because I know why. This is not a fact, but I'm going to say the thought of Historic maybe one day being a paper format was the idea of why he was expensive. Now that's not true anymore.
I like that.
Historic was like people had this idea that maybe one day we'll be able to play Historic in paper, but that's no longer the case.
Yeah, you can't with the stupid.
It's just not the same format. It's two different formats.
Hearthstone cards make it impossible to.
Yeah. All right, guys. So I know we kind of went deep on the secret layer talk, and I kind of wanted to do before we kind of get closer to spoiler season and then end of the year stuff, because I'm planning on with you guys, we're going to do an end of the year show, which is just going to be probably three straight episodes of arguing. But before we get there, I kind of want to hear what you guys have for a wish list of what you guys would like to see for 2022 Magic. I know it's a little bit early in the year, but with all the new stuff getting thrown at us so quickly, just want to hear some thoughts. And Josh, let me hear what you got. What do you want to see in 2022? Kind of what would be your Magic wish list?
I'm excited for new Capenna. That's like what I'm most excited for. I like that flavor. I'm interested to see what Magic will be like in a real world setting.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what that's going for. I just want that to be a good set. I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see flashy must have cards anymore. I don't think that'll like happen because, you know, pushing Magic cards has been proven to be successful, so we'll see. Yeah. But I would like to see a return to, you know, I remember standards or like standard in general or like Magic in general always flourished when like two color decks were like what everyone was playing, like Guilds of Ravnica Ravnica standard, regardless of the time period, was always a great standard because everyone has their aligned guild that they like. Everyone that is playing, you know, Magic the way they enjoy, and like, you're not pushing like these crazy four-color overpowered decks playing the best cards.
Right.
I just feel like getting Magic back down to like, you know, two-color formats would be healthy for the future of Magic.
Like a Brewer's Paradise almost.
Right.
Well, you could do different decks every week, and then you can make like change-ups. And this speaks to like an old format of like, you know, Ravnica, where one week it was correct to, you know, play Lifebane Zombie, and then the following week it was correct to play Night Vale Spectre. Like you were switching back and forth because depending on your meta or other versions of that, if, you know, whatever they may be. Like Sphinx's Revelation decks, where one week it was correct to play Restoration Angel, and the next week it was like, this card's atrocious, don't play Restoration Angel. And, you know, you're always kind of constantly, like, tilting. And I mean, Umbera Rites decks, you know, were hot one week, and then the next week it'd be Jund decks. Like, that was the most fun standard because you could hit the lottery and have the right deck for that tournament, or you could be a week behind or not change with the meta and get horribly punished by everybody's tech.
Pre-War of the Spark standard was awesome. I had a lot of fun playing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, everything was kind of balanced. You had the Knight of Benalia deck, whatever that deck was. The
Mono White Aggro. There was...
Jeff and I were both playing budget decks, and we were doing really good.
Yeah.
Experimental Frenzy Red.
Yep. Control. General Control.
Yep. Phoenix was a thing in Standard at that point, too.
Phoenixless Phoenix.
Yeah. That was in Modern, yeah.
Yeah. And then you had black-green, just Explore. Like, I think the mechanics of that set all blended really well.
Mm-hmm. It was great. And then War of the Spark hit, and
then everyone all played Planeswalkers.
Dominated the format. Just in Magic.
Yeah.
It's hard to have a bad Planeswalker when you release like 26 of them in a set.
Yeah. I mean, they released, I mean, we were dealing with Teferi Hero Dominaria, and that card was a little bit of a groan, but even then, like, it wasn't the end-all be-all, you know? Like, you could just arrest that card away.
Or you could just deal with it in general, because, like, it was a 5-drop, and, like, most of the time, like, for them to get it to work, it... Because most of the other decks were aggro, so you had to drop it turn 5.
Yep.
Like, you couldn't wait to protect it. So, like, the Phoenix deck, you just swung at it. It died. It didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Against all the other decks, they had, like... Wasn't there a rare removal spell that hit Planeswalkers?
Yeah, there always is. There was one that...
Vraska's Contempt.
Yeah, Vraska's Contempt was getting played then. So, like, all the other decks had answers for it. But then, like, we hit War of the Spark, and Little Teferi came out. And I hated Magic for its entire existence.
Everybody hated Magic. That was one of the worst standards that we ran into. And then it was set after set was just like, okay, now it was Oko. Now it's Uro. We just got slapped in the face over and over and over.
And the thing, I hated when people would use the argument that Teferi, 3-Fairy, made it so Magic was fair. It's not, because you still get to cast stuff, and you even get to cast your sorceries faster if you plus him. So you can board wipe on your opponent's turn, and they literally can't do anything. That's
is when you... And they kill your Teferi. They, like, attack, or they kill your Teferi somehow, and then they move to combat, and you Supreme Verdict, and they're like, what? And you're like, yeah.
Hey, guys, I need someone to text me on Saturday morning that the...
Wake up. I'm not doing that.
No. not wake up. But remind me that 6 damage burn spell for 1 red can hit Planeswalkers.
I don't think you're going to remember how your Urza Saga works.
You have a phone where you can set, like, a reminder, so your phone will literally just be like, hey,
text me. You guys,
I'm just going to text you once an hour on Saturday.
Hey, remember.
Yeah.
It'll be through Facebook, but I'll message you.
Nice. Yeah, dude. So, Josh, you're wishing for a better standard?
I want Magic to slow down. I want Magic in general to slow down. I want, you know, to go back to the good times.
Battlecruiser Magic.
Yeah, Battlecruiser Magic.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think until Faceless Haven gets rotated out, I think that's going to be kind of a far cry.
Right.
I just think the monocolored decks are just going to be, like, basically anything that's good for mono green. Like, if you look at the monocolored decks, they don't play any, like, things that are relevant to snow permanence other than Faceless Haven.
And the thing is you can play that in multicolor even. Like, you can go 2-color, you'll have dual lands, but you just run all snow lands and your green snow, or your green snow forest and snow plains are still going to activate it because the card's dumb.
Yeah, they printed other man lands, like the 5 from the core
set. The red one sees a bunch of play in standard.
That one does, so does the blue one.
The blue one, I think, is even modern playable, if you ask me. I think it is.
Well, it costs 7 to activate.
Yeah.
That's not... I've hard-casted Murktide for 7 before.
Yeah. I mean, it's that one's... I've seen Lisp play it. I think it's good.
It's just one of, right?
It's so big and so hard to, like, in because
it has... Isn't that Ward 3?
I think it's more than that. I thought it was some ridiculous high number for Ward. It might be Ward 3.
I think either it's Ward 3, and you have to pay the 3 mana.
So people have gone away from, like, Celestial Colonnade, and the reason why they've gone away from Celestial Colonnade is because cards like the Unholy Heat exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you just can't, like, be spending 5 mana on a 4-4 that just dies to, like, you know, it used to be just Fatal Push, but now it's Unholy Heat too. So you need this card, which is a 7-7 that gets out of the range of Unholy Heat, even if they pay.
Right.
And their Fatal Push costs 4.
Yeah, exactly. It just gets it out. You're just out of that range, so you no longer get the blowouts of, I spent all my mana, and you just use a 1-mana removal spell. It used to just be Fatal Push, but they've gone away from those lists. You don't get the flying anymore, but flying is a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As far as 2022, I'm super hyped for the return to Kamigawa. Like, that was, like, one of my favorite sets growing up. That was, like, the first time I really started going to, like, FNMs, back when, like, I didn't understand how competitive Magic worked, and I just played the cards I had and liked. And Kamigawa, just, I really love ninjas. I'm a weeb at heart. So, like, I'm really hoping for a really cool ninja commander besides Yuriko. Yuriko is cool and unique, but it's based around ninjas, but it's not. Like, it's about revealing a 10 mana spell and hitting everybody for 10. Right. And the other two ninjas do the same thing. I want, like, something actually based around, like, ninjas. Like, when ninjas hit you know, they all get buffed or like making ninjutsu cost cheaper.
Getting shuriken tokens and they do something.
Yeah, like something cool like that. Yeah. Like, you know, with something unique, like it makes a smoke bomb token where you can pay three and remove one of your ninjas from combat.
I'm so excited for the art direction that they've taken.
Cyberpunk, they can
kill it all the way. And like, if they do like in their set boosters, they do the Japanese all art something like it. They can like, this set can make millions.
I'm really hoping for some vibrant like colors too, like the with the cyber neon look.
Yeah,
like, oh man, I'm so hyped for it. Like, that's the thing I'm looking for 2022. And man, just more reprints. I would love modern to like drop below like $1,000 like format again.
Back down to a $400 format.
I mean, that's never gonna happen, like ever. Just inflation alone and like how much people like want cards, that'll never happen. But if we could get down to like $600-800 to play like a competitive modern deck again, like that'd be really cool. And it would draw more people in.
How big of a blowout would your Kamigawa set be if they included energy?
I hope not. I thought they said they would never do energy again.
It was a 10 on the Rabina scale.
Yeah, but they said that about Storm too, and then they make new Storm cards. They didn't.
This is their chance to make energy themed commanders, because right now, so I think what their Wizards is trying to do, and I don't know if this is their direction, but they're looking back at old mechanics and saying like, okay, there is no energy themed commander. How can we make those cards from, you know, Aether Revolt and Kaladesh applicable to stand or into EDH in some way? Because I'm sure there's people that have an affinity for that stuff that don't, you know, that don't have that ability, and they've seemed that's what they wanted to do.
And then on the other, to be devil's advocate here, on the other hand, they didn't give us a werewolf commander deck, and the werewolves don't interact with each other.
It's true.
Yeah, they did really mess up that set in terms of the werewolf stuff.
The one werewolf flips old werewolves. I don't know if you know that. It does.
Yeah, the commander.
The commander does.
I was super.
Yes, that was weird.
I was super disappointed there wasn't a werewolf commander deck. I thought there was. I went to a local game store.
It's so funny.
I was so mad. I was like, hey, man, can I get the werewolf EDH deck? And he's like, yeah, here you go. And I literally just didn't look at it because I assumed it was werewolves. I paid, which they were also overcharging for. It was like $55 instead of like $40 like everywhere else. Mm-hmm. I get in my car. I open the bag and I look, and it's the stupid green-white humans EDH deck from Midnight Hunt. That's awful. There's like nothing good in the deck. And I even tried playing all three different commanders for it, and it was just atrocious. It was so slow, and I was just really upset because I was like, man, I really want to like build werewolves because like werewolves are cool, and we don't get to do that because Aldrich is trash.
Yeah, I got a theory about that and why they don't do specifically that. Has there ever been a commander set where there's a flip card inside this in the set?
No.
They didn't make EDH decks like that when Innistrad was out.
No. I'm just saying, like, any commander deck since the inception of commander decks, has any of them ever had a flip card in it? Ever?
No. But the tokens, they've had double-sided tokens.
No, yeah, but what tokens he's getting at is so you can play that EDH deck out of the box.
Exactly. And not have to play 30 checklist cards.
Yeah, I don't think they ever have.
You know what I mean?
They could have also done it where the commander is the only flip card. Like, yes, that forces you to play your commander then if you open it out of the box, but that's still at least doable. And then they only have to include one checkmark card then. Like, here, write your commander on here.
Well, your commander stays in your command zone. You can just always...
I'm saying if you were to switch it out with another commander in the deck.
Sure. Yeah, fair.
Or they could just give you cool checkmark cards that are, you know...
Already predetermined.
With the cool art on each of it for each card. That would be cool.
Yeah, that's probably the best move. I think that's probably why they don't... They probably wanted to make a werewolf one, but like, how can we make a werewolf commander deck that has zero flip cards in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
But besides all that, I'm super hyped for ninjas, man, to come back. And even like spirits and hopefully arcane spells. Like, all of that stuff was really unique.
What would you do if they had a Naruto crossover for ninjas?
Buy it all.
I would, yeah, obviously. Like,
I would be like one of the most. That would be the highest buying sets.
When I played Belcher, my 20 goblin tokens were 20 gold Naruto ninjas. So like, yeah, I would definitely play them. I would, if that ever happened, that would sell more than The Walking Dead or Stranger Things, almost guaranteed.
Probably.
Anime is liked by a lot of people around the world, man.
That's fair.
Yeah, it would go pretty wild. Naruto is arguably like Walking Dead level big.
It's bigger than Walking Dead.
It's nice. I guess probably because like it's got more of an international Walking Dead.
Well, and that's what I was gonna say is like out of all three, like we've had Stranger Things and Walking Dead. If they introduced a Naruto one, like I think more non-magic players would buy that than the people did for Walking Dead or Stranger Things.
Yeah, fair.
Also, to touch back real quick, you said they're like looking at old abilities again and bringing them back. I like that they're doing that. Because I'm all for new abilities coming out in sets, but at some point, like, don't you just create too many abilities?
Where's horsemanship? Bring back horsemanship.
No, yeah. Stop talking. See, this is why you play Tabernacle. Stop.
If they did bring back horsemanship, didn't they get?
There was that one blue. Yeah, there was that blue commander.
It was horrible.
There's a shadow is kind of like horsemanship.
Yeah.
No, but shadow's easy to understand. It can't block. You can't block it. It's
there's also another. Going. There is another.
Banning is another one that never needs to come back.
I don't understand how banning works, so don't bring that back. Horsemanship
that just came out. There's a card that has horsemanship that just came out.
Yeah. Essentially, but what I'm like, I guess what I was trying to get at was like Aetherworks Marvel. Like that card is a fun card, but you can't really do anything in EDH with it. Oh no, I'm saying like you can't do anything in EDH with it because there's only like 17 or 20 like playable, and I mean like barely playable like energy cards, right?
Kind of like Yogg's Will, you're attuned with Aether to get enough energy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the idea would be like there would be a commander that just like produced a lot of energy or would at least interact with the cards to make energy.
But you'd be okay with that, but I think if they did that, I hope they don't bring energy actually to the format and it's just in one of the EDH decks. Because like they've done that before where they create like EDH commanders that have like abilities that aren't in the set but come out around a set time. Like they did it with the, was that the Emerge or whatever?
Yeah.
Like they could do that. Like if they made an EDH deck that had like an energy commander, like I don't need energy in the set to appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. They put like Delve on a random. They put it on that Ethereal Forger and put that in that Theros EDH deck for whatever it was.
Yep. Yeah, that was a weird one. I think who knows why that was there.
Also, the other thing I need is a Tommy gun in the gangster set. It has to happen.
I wanted to say that before, but I didn't want to like go down that route. But it'd be they do for a gun in magic.
It doesn't even have to be a real gun. It could be an energy gun. Make it like science fiction. I don't care. But like there needs to be a gun.
Make
Come
it
on.
A crossbow that looks like a Tommy gun. I don't care.
Crossbows already exist.
I know, but make it look like a Tommy gun. Just to have like two barrels of arrows.
And we have cannons.
Hit him with your crossbow, Steve.
Yeah.
And we have cannons, so we're close enough to guns.
All right. JB, what do you want from 2022? Or what would be in your wish list?
More lands.
I really, really want them to start. Huh?
I want tri-fetch lands.
No. I mean, they already have that. They just don't come in untapped. So
no, he's talking about like ones that go get swamp, island, or mountain. Like that.
No, I don't care about that. What I want is more anime crossovers. Start to Aniplex. Start talking to Funimation, because those are the people who hold the rights in the U.S.
Yeah.
So they need to get on doing that kind of stuff. And I know it's a lot harder to license that just because there's so many hands in the pot when you bring things over from another country. So I get that it's a bit tougher, especially when you're doing worldwide releases, that like copyright becomes a big problem because, you know, in Europe, Funimation might not own the rights to something that they do in America.
Yeah.
And I get where that comes from, but if you're going to the direct distributor in Japan of like whoever owns the rights to it, I think you should be able to just make cards based on that. So they need to get on that. I don't know why they haven't, because I know it would sell like crazy, like Jeff said earlier.
They just make it their own card game, dude. They just came out with the My Hero Academia card.
I know.
Game. Well, Shonen Jump also like exists in Japan and America. So like I feel like Shonen Jump ones would be a lot easier to like do that with versus like some of the Funimation ones.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, the problem doesn't matter. MTG is not as popular as other card games in Japan, so obviously agreed. The people who are making anime in Japan don't want to do tie-ins with MTG when they could with, you know, Weiss Schwartz or whatever.
Isn't Yu-Gi-Oh! Super popular over there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
They're like 6 months ahead. I get where it's hard, but that's what I want.
Yes.
And then I also am still looking forward to the day that I can watch, you know, like competitive play in Modern or Legacy where someone's deck is all different arts of a card from, you know, various secret layers, because that really hasn't come to yet, but we're starting to get there. You can really play a lot of weird cards and a lot of alt arts, so.
It would probably be the first, like, zombie deck that does it.
Yeah, it'd for sure.
Remind me never to borrow a deck from you, JB.
Oh, I can't wait.
I remember when I saw your lands the first time and every card was a different art. I was just like, it gave me a headache because I had to actually read each card.
Suck it, kid.
Yeah, it killed me because there was the Expedition version of Ancient Tomb and Wasteland look kind of similar in the art. Like, it's just this like nasty gray-looking thing. So every time I'd play either one of those, whoever I was playing would be like, which one is that? Which one is that?
Alright.
What are you looking forward to, Tony?
It's not anything that I want from like a product standpoint, because I think we already have too many products. I'd like them to slow down on products. So along with Josh's sentiment of slow down standard, slow down the products. But if I could, if I want something for 2022, it's some form of DCI. I don't care if that's start fresh, brand new, but I want some way to track my games. That's all I want.
Right. At least you can easily add that on. You should be able to have that data on your Arena account anyway.
I want to disconnect it from Arena. I don't want it to be part of Arena. I think adding the Arena aspect makes it difficult for the... I mean, I play Arena, but the boomers would be like, I don't want to sign up for Arena. Like, I don't want to do this.
I'm sure there's plenty of people like that.
Well, it's just, imagine your average EDH player. Like, if they want to play an FNM, it's like, come on.
You'd have
Who has the six-digit DCI card or whatever?
Yeah. Just come up with a new system. It doesn't
You'd also have to keep your ranking separate, too, because, like, the app would tell you your ranking, like, collectively with Arena and off Arena, and then you would need off Arena.
Yeah. I just want one unified system again. And the DCI thought was a good system. And I'm not, it's really weird that they discontinued that, but I think they discontinued that for a behind the scenes kind of like, this is how we, you know, forget about the pros. This is how we get rid of them. All those, you know, platinum rankings, all that's all gone. Just give us a new system.
One hand, I'd like to think that it's a pipe dream to think that they're going to give you something other than Arena, because Arena seems to be the future. But on the other hand, they're gutting like professional Magic and all that, so I don't see why to continue on with Arena anyway.
Arena does great for playing standard and playing draft and whatever who's still on there lingering for like historic. You know, those are the three formats that people care about on there. Everything outside there, like the modern players, your commander players, like I know commander is not really like geared towards like competitive play, but even like sanctioned commander events would be nice. Like just them to exist. And also it would allow, again, this is kind of beyond the game, but allow us as a community or people to be able to track cheaters and people that are not so great, because all the people that were banned in the DCI system, they're not banned anymore. They can play again. There's nothing hold, like there's literally zero things stopping.
Word of mouth.
Well, even then, like you're not banned. There's no, you were banned by DCI sanctions. Nothing
now
sanctioned
you're banned
anymore.
By store.
Yeah, it's up to the public to do that, but it's just like there's no DCI bans anymore. You're not banned. Any of those guys that got banned in the last couple of years for whatever they did, shit's hot. You're back to play again.
Right.
So we're still talking about this. I ran to pee during that conversation and came back, and you guys are still talking about DCI.
Yeah, just wait out. Just weed out the undesirables, if you will.
And I choose never to play against Jeff in a tournament.
Give me a second. I just ordered pizza.
We have to.
Okay, I got it recording again.
It's 3:50.
Oh, you are the worst. You used what? You paused it?
Oh my god!
Yeah. All right, hot take. Do it from the top.
Hot take.
Why did you stop it?
When
because
did you, I had to go get my pizza.
Just let it go. We already ended the show.
Well, you didn't end it yet.
All right, try it again.
Josh, hot take of the week.
Quarters are worth more than 25 cents. It's Wednesday, my dudes.
Bye.
Oh my god.
Thanks for nothing, JB. I gotta go.
Yeah, you missed so much good content.
You're the worst.